Let's get the war whores out of the way first. The prostitutes in the United States, where the liberal domination of the broadcast media, even though hardly anyone watches it, then fuels the newspapers, which fuel the liberal broadcasters. But the British broadcasters took the biscuit during the epic Alaska summit. The BBC and Sky News could not contain themselves. They could not contain their mixture of rage and grief at the possibility that a summit between the only two world leaders who matter in the Ukraine affair were getting ready to meet. You know, to talk, to negotiate, the kind of thing that used to happen in world conflicts all the time, even during the Cold War. It was a normal thing for people to shuttle their diplomacy. But there they were, their tears, acid tears, dripping into their microphones. And the British, as I say, were even worse. But let's start with the Americans. Nancy Pelosi. Let me start with her. Wish I could finish with her. I wish I could wring, metaphorically, her neck. She says that the sight of American servicemen giving respect to a man with blood on his hands in Alaska was simply beyond the pale. This is the woman who led repeated standing ovations for the blood-soaked, dripping in blood from head to toe, Benjamin Netanyahu, throughout the entirety of this murderous crisis in the Gaza Strip. This is a woman, the third woman in the United States of America, third most senior leader, who gave every conceivable support to President Biden's massacres of the Palestinian people, hundreds of thousands of dead people. It's you that's got blood on your hands and too much alcohol in your bloodstream, Mrs. Pelosi. How's your husband, by the way? The CBS, MSNBC, even Fox News, they could not contain their rage that Donald Trump, the man about whom they are quite deranged, just might pull off an end to a war which has killed hundreds of thousands of people, beggared the European economies, and taken us to the precipice of a nuclear conflagration. They could not bear not only that it could not end, but that it might be Donald Trump who brought it to an end. Look, even a stopped clock is right twice a day. And Trump was right to try the talks in Alaska. And he'll be even more right to go to Moscow for a second and hopefully conclusive set of negotiations as soon as possible. And you have to be brave enough to say that. It's the right-wing Republican, the guy out of Midnight Cowboy, Buck, I think his name was. That guy, he's right. And the Social Democrats from Europe are the ones who are wrong. Let me focus for a minute on them. Most of them you've never heard of. Somebody called Stubb, a president, Stubb, is headed for Washington to try and browbeat and bully big Donald Trump out of his peacemaking efforts. Somebody called Rutt, who's the esteemed Secretary General, appointed, elected by no one, of something called NATO, 80% funded by the American taxpayer. Somebody called Starmer, the most unpopular political leader in the entire history of Great Britain. That I'm not making that up. His opinion poll ratings are now at 13%. 13%. He's a total disaster. Britain is going down the tubes. It's going down the drain. But he's on the plane to Washington to try and put his tuppence worth, so we've got here in Britain, tuppence, his tuppence worth in. And his little inky finger clerk, John Healy, I know you don't know him, but he's the war leader in Britain. He's again stating that Britain is going to put boots on the ground in Ukraine. He's totally desperate to send our young men and women into harm's way. And believe me, any British troops on the ground, any British boots on the ground will very quickly be empty boots. And the young men and women from our country sent into this bloody maw, this rerun of the Crimean War in the fantasies of the British state, will be being shipped home without their shoes in wooden boxes. Somebody called Macron, whose wife beats him in public on camera. Somebody called Merz, his grandfather, a Nazi officer from Germany, which has bankrupted itself and blown up its own infrastructure at the behest of the Biden administration. They are all flying with Zelensky for a meeting in the White House tomorrow. Yeah. He needs to come eight-handed, Zelensky. Well, after what happened to him last time, maybe that's a good idea. These barking dogs, these chihuahuas that are his accompaniment in these talks should be locked in the kennels by Donald Trump. Most of them are rabid anyway. Suspicion of rabies, impound them. But if Donald Trump allows Zelensky and these seven dwarves into the Oval Office, they will swarm him in front of the cameras, because Donald cannot do anything other than appear on camera. University TV can get an interview with Donald Trump. He'll bring the cameras in. And the European Social Democrats, who pay a tiny proportion of NATO's costs, who don't have an army, navy, and air force, between the whole lot of them, will try to persuade Donald Trump to fight to the last Ukrainian, and then, if necessary, to join the war himself. And then we'll find out if Donald Trump is a man or a mouse. If he succumbs to these barking chihuahuas, well, he's the latter. He's a mouse, and the war will go on. And if the war goes on, Russia may take the entire country of Ukraine. It will definitely, without any doubt, take the entire coastline, starting with the jewel of Odessa. If Russia has to, they'll go on advancing 110 square miles every 2 days until they're across the river and threatening Kiev. If this war goes on, somebody called Stubb won't be any good to little Zelensky. Somebody called Rutt will be exposed as just a little tailor's dummy. The European leaders, so-called, none of them with anything remotely approaching a majority of support in their own countries, are going there for one reason only: to continue the war. Now just contemplate that ontologically for a minute. In the past, American presidents laid waste the world in useless and bogus foreign wars. And the Europeans were the ones who tried to hold them back, who tried to restrain mad dogs in the White House. Now, it's the American president that wants peace and the European Social Democrats that want war. And their oppositions don't have the guts or the gumption to stand up and call them out. Who's calling out the British government, for example, over the war? Nobody. Not one person in Parliament is robustly demanding an end to the war in Ukraine. And when I say not one person, I mean not one single person. We have a one-party state in Britain that looks and sounds like the Reichstag under Adolf Hitler. And while I'm on the subject of Hitler, Mr. Lavrov is coming in for a great deal of criticism for turning up with a T-shirt marked CCCP, USSR. One idiot just said on Twitter, imagine a German statesman turning up with a T-shirt marked Third Reich. Have you seen Mr. Merz's T-shirt? You better hope he doesn't take his shirt off. But what Lavrov was doing was saying, we liberated the world from the Third Reich. We are Russia. We turned the tide of the Second World War, and if it was not for us, every one of you European Social Democrats would be speaking in Russian, German, the Netherlands, which surrendered in 48 hours, the French, who folded like a cheap deck chair. Only Britain stood alone for almost an entire year. But who won the war? Which army prevailed in Berlin? Which army crushed the beast of fascism in the rubble of Berlin? That's what Lavrov was saying. And I think that Trump understood that. I think that Trump handled this whole thing not just with courage, but with grace. I thought the way he received the second most militarily powerful man in the world was respectful, as it should have been. What did you want Trump to do? Walk away from Putin? Refuse to shake his hand? Do you people know anything at all about diplomacy? Do you people know anything at all about what you need to do in order to bring wars to an end? Evidently not. The media in the West was dripping with venom towards Russia. And if Trump disappoints these European Social Democrats tomorrow, if he tells them the war's over, if you want to keep the war going, you send your armies, you send your money, you send your material, because we are out of here. This was Biden's war, and Trump is going to walk away from it. And if Zelensky doesn't accept the kind of concessions and the kind of changes, demographic changes, geographic changes to the new reality, then heaven help him, because we certainly won't be. And so we've got to speculate as to what it was that was decided between the two leaders in Alaska. Because neither of them have said anything meaningful, substantive, about what was decided in the talks. None of them have indicated what issues remain to be resolved. Our guest tonight, Afsan Ratansi, will have more of an insight than me and you, for I have virtually none. All I know is this. They didn't speak for 135 minutes. Without coming to some meaningful conclusions. They did not meet and agree to meet again quickly without some idea that some kind of meaningful, workable deal is potentially in the bag. But it could all be scuppered, not just by the Europeans, but by little Zelensky. If he turns up in his combat fatigues again, I'd say the war is going on. If he turns up in what passes for a suit, it might be that we have a ball game. What will that ball game look like? Well, those areas that are now constitutionally a part of the Russian Federation will never be relinquished. That much I can certainly say. I'm not sure what will happen in the territories where complete Russian control does not yet exist, although at the pace of developments on the battlefield, that may not be long delayed. So hurry up, Zelensky. But the republics that are now a part of the Russian Federation will remain there. Crimea will remain there. Guarantees for Kaliningrad will have to be given. Guarantees that the rump Ukrainian state will never join NATO. Ukraine will never be in NATO, and NATO will never be in Ukraine, will have to be given. And something that is frequently overlooked deliberately by Western commentators, there will have to be an election in Ukraine, because Zelensky is not the legitimate president of Ukraine and therefore cannot sign any peace agreement with Russia. Only a duly elected president of the Ukraine can do that. So a change at the top in Kiev will be necessary. Constitutional protection for the Russian nationals, ethnic Russians, Russian-speaking people in Ukraine will have to be constitutionally guaranteed. The Russian language will have to be an official language in Ukraine. Essentially, for older viewers, Ukraine will have to be Finlandized, i.e. not a part of the bloc of the former USSR, but neutral to the nth degree, as it was during the Cold War. And therefore, Helsinki was an important place, was a meaningful place in international relations. A Finlandized, neutral, non-NATO rump Ukraine will have to be accepted, or the war will go on. I feel sure that Donald Trump, besotted as he is with the possibility of winning the Nobel Peace Prize, like his nemesis, Obama, is fully seized of these realities. I believe the American government, the top brass, are fully seized on the need to bring an end to this conflict, and fully seized of the fruits of the resumption of economic relations with the Russian Federation. Russia's an immensely rich place. Its precious metals, its minerals, its oil and gas, and above all, its land. Land undreamt of in any other country. Russia, the biggest country in the whole world, and whole parts of it completely empty, are a real prize for someone with the sense to see economic cooperation as a more profitable bet for them than economic, political, and military confrontation. I told you that Afsan Ratansi, the host of Going Underground, is going to be our guest tonight. He'll know one or two of the inside track material. So, I'm coming back. 20 seconds. It's the mother of all talk shows.